Okay, questions. Serious questions. Stump the priest. Yes, Ian.
So what does it consist of when God takes everything back? What is that defined as another, like, reality for the animals? Is it just...
Well, I think the fact of the matter is we don't know exactly what that's going to look like. Again, we know that everything returns to God. Right? Everything, all of creation has come from God, and all of creation will return to God. What exactly that looks like? I don't know. I mean, and when the book of Revelation talks about a new heavens and a new earth, I don't know. I'd like to think that all of those things would be there. I'd like to think that there would be trees and mountains and rivers and plants and bushes and all those other things as well. Is it Isaiah? Yeah, Isaiah talks about, he kind of has his own little apocalyptic parts, and he talks, I think it's Isaiah, talks about he talks about all those different things. He says the lion and the child will play at the cobra's den, and the lion will lay down with the lamb, and the this and the that, and it's the sense of like a restoration where, yeah, maybe there will still be spiders, but they won't be poisonous and they won't bite you. So I don't know exactly what it would look like, you know. I guess we just have to wait and see. But it's a good question. But again, that's why I had asked the lady, I said, well, we have to draw a line somewhere, right? And the natural point of drawing the line when it comes to ability to commune with God would be those things that share his intelligence. You know, again, on that hierarchy, God, who is pure spirit, the closest creature to him is also pure spirit. Then you have man, spirit and matter, but then below that you have just matter. Those things don't have spirit. They don't have that ability to commune with God on that intimate level. Yeah.
I do believe that our free will is one of the things that distinguish us from animals.
Yeah.
So do you think that animals have free will or choice?
No, I think we'd have to say they don't. And in fact, that's one of the things, by the way, which makes something like getting drunk or getting high wrong, is that you're sacrificing your free will. And to say nothing of the fact of what you might do after that, but even if you don't do anything after that, why would you sacrifice one of the greatest gifts you have? Why would you sacrifice that which distinguishes you from the animals, you know? But I think that's where C.S. Lewis is getting at with, you know, the gophers dig to the glory of God, that they don't have a free will to get in the way, but they also don't have a free will to choose God. You know, so it's kind of the damned if you do, damned if you don't. God gave us a free will because we would need it to get to heaven if we were ever going to get to heaven. But in giving us the free will, he also knew that we could and would use it to choose against him. So on the one hand, like, we want to get to the point where it is completely God's will I'm doing and not my own, but I still need my free will to align with God's will, you know? Yeah.
But you won't be able to
drink
that marijuana tea.
Yes. Ignore him.
I just wanted to point out, I just read a small passage.
Sure.
The book of Revelation.
Sure, sure.
5. Then I heard all the living things in creation, everything that lives in the air and on the ground and under the ground and in the sea, crying to the one who is sitting on the throne and to the Lamb be all praise, honor, glory, and power forever and ever.
Yeah. And I think that's what the Catechism was getting at, that all of those things glorify God just by their sheer existence. We glorify God when we act according to our nature. We don't always act according to our nature. Those animals, they glorify God. They can't but glorify God, you know. In fact, one of the prayers that comes to mind is in the breviary that priests and nuns and everyone prays all over the world, and there's that one canticle where it goes all the way through. And you know what I'm talking about, the dolphins of the Lord, bless the Lord. Water creatures of the Lord, bless the Lord. Seas and rivers, bless the Lord. Rivers and... Yeah. It's always on Sunday. Yeah. And I love the there's that one translation that they use in England that my friend thought was so funny because it said something like dolphins and whales, and it had named some like obscure other animals, bless the Lord, and but yeah, they bless God just by their sheer existence. Yeah.
I really have a question.
Yeah.
In Genesis, in chapter 9, God says, mm-hmm. I will demand an account from every beast
mm-hmm.
and from man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. Because to demand an account from something that's not capable of... Yeah. That's interesting. Certainly, from man, that makes sense. But to say to demand an account from every beast...
Because that's the Jerusalem Bible, because it has inclusive language. It has the closest...
Yeah.
Which is the translation.
No, this is... the translation is closest to the Greek.
Well, in that case, the Hebrew, yeah. The Old Testament, yeah. But... yeah, that's interesting.
Exactly what she's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
One of our priests told us that it was the metaphor to show us how powerful God love is.
Mm.
Is that true? It's the same passage that we have. It's a metaphor to show us how powerful God love is.
But that he would give us all of those things?
It's a metaphor to tell you how powerful his love is when it comes to creation.
But what's the metaphor? Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
That's an
interesting thought.
Yeah.
That's what one of our priests told us.
Yeah.
It's not the beast the way we see beasts.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I'm just thinking, I'm just trying to kind of mull over in my head, is... because I've had people try to tell me that... they say, my dog does know right from wrong. Like, my dog does have free will. He knows when he did something wrong. He knows where he's not supposed to go to the bathroom, and he did anyways, and he did something wrong. And I say, okay, well, yeah, I mean, you've potty trained him, and for one reason or another, he decided to ignore that. But can we even use language like decided to? No, I think... Part of the nature of animals is that they act only according to their feelings. Something I find myself telling people in confession all the time is that we have free will. We can be hungry and choose not to eat. We can say, I'm fasting, or whatever. When an animal feels hungry, it eats. It looks for food and it eats. Even if that means breaking into the bag of food that you had hidden in the closet, it's going to sniff it out, it's going to push the door open, and it's going to dig through the bag and eat it. Why? Because it's hungry. Did it decide to be bad? No. I think it felt hungry, and it found the food. The same thing. When an animal is tired, it sleeps. We have free will. We can experience tired and fatigue and say, I'm not going to go to bed. Maybe because I'm driving, and I can't sleep right now. Or I have stuff I have to get done. Or what I point out when it comes to sexual sin, as I say, we can feel that same kind of temptation that, so when an animal feels horny, it tries to have sex. When you feel horny, you better not, or at least make sure that it's with the person you're married to. That we can choose to act contrary to our feelings. Animals can't. So, when the animal decided to, go to the bathroom where it's not supposed to, did it decide to do that? Did it do something wrong? I don't think we can use language like right or wrong or decide.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
No real
No, the animal just said, I need to go to the bathroom, and I suppose this looks good. You know, I mean, you know, I don't think there's a thought process. Yeah. But it's kind of hard to argue that with some people, because some people, like, really demand that, no, my animals, they know. You know.
Well, to a degree they do, because a lot of dogs can hold it all day, but when necessity is necessity, an animal is not going to have that logic, you know, that extra bit.
Yeah. But even, like, those animals that are, you know, housebroken, and they've learned to hold it all day, what is their motivation for doing so? You know, is it because they know that last time they peed inside, they got hit, and they remember that, and they know, I better hold it, because if I pee again, I'm going to get hit. Well, but I wonder if there's a certain memory recollection, that last time I did this, I experienced pain. And I want to avoid pain, so I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean? Like, they don't think that, but I mean, I wonder if there's a certain conditioning that occurs there. I don't know that it's the matter, I don't think it's a matter of the animal saying, you know, I can hold it, I'll wait. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think the animal's like...
They work on emotional response.
Right, right. But that's just it. It's emotion. It's at the level of the body. It's not at the level of an intelligence. So...
What about the idea of having a kind of like a separate place for animals? Like, God might have created a kind of special heaven for dogs.
A special heaven is for dogs.
Well,
I mean, I'm not going to put anything past God. I mean, except that which is contrary to his nature.
It would be contrary to his nature.
Well, no, I don't know that it would.
I don't know. Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, well, God's an everything lover. I mean, God's a poisonous snake lover, too. God loves Osama bin Laden. I mean, so...
Place where they go.
Yeah. Now I will say this again. Coming back to Thomas Aquinas, Thomas Aquinas didn't have any problem using the word soul when it came to animals, but he talked about it as a different type of soul. I'm not going to use the language he used, but the language, basically, the distinction he made was human beings have a type of soul that can exist on its own apart from the body. Animals have a type of soul which is dependent on the functioning of the body. And so Thomas had no problem using the word soul, but he would call it an irrational soul. But he would also say that when the body dies, the soul dies. With humans, when our body dies, our soul lives on and goes to the particular judgment. And the body decomposes and turns back into dust. And then when our Lord comes again at the general judgment, reunites, pulls up from that dust our body, reunites it to the soul, returns us to that composite state, which is our nature. But animals, I don't know, when that new creation is done, when the reditus is completed and all of creation comes back to God, are all of those animals reconstituted somehow and given life again such that they can crawl around and do what they do? I don't know. But the idea of, like, a separate place for them, I don't know, maybe. Yeah.
Well, there's a separate place for Catholics, right? That story. They're the only ones up there.
Well, like Catholic heaven?
I'd be surprised how many don't get there, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. There was that Simpsons episode where, Bill, you know what I'm talking about. Where Marge had that dream, was it? And it was a different. There was the Protestant heaven, and they were all like prim, proper, like Englishmen, and they were playing cricket, and they all had like sweater vests on. And she shows up there, and she's like, "Where's Jesus?" And they're like, "This is Protestant heaven. He's with the Catholics." And then, like, over in Catholic heaven, you had, like, the drunken Irishmen, you had the Italians, you had, and Jesus was strewn around with all of them, and then it came together into this big, like, rendition of Riverdance, and, like, they all joined in, they were all dancing, and that was, like, Catholic heaven. Like, from all of these cultures, it kind of, and I thought there's kind of some truth to that, but... No, there aren't two heavens. Not for humans, at least.
No.
But I don't know. I mean, that's... Yeah. But what would be that? What would be going there? You know what I mean? Like, when the animal dies, if its soul dies with it, and its body goes into the ground, what part of it would be left to go to that animal heaven?
Well, a lot of people think that the spirit of the dog goes to animal heaven.
Okay. So that there is a sense of immortality to that. That it doesn't die. Yeah. See, and again, that's just contrary to Thomas. Now, nothing says that every word Thomas wrote is 100% true. I suppose you could still believe that and be a good Catholic. I mean, you know, it's not one of those things that's been defined, you know. I don't believe it, but... Any other questions?
Did you have an animal when you were growing up?
I did. I actually had... my whole family, like all of us had a different pet. My eldest sister had a cat. My second sister had a dog. Third sister had a bunny rabbit. I had two hamsters, which turned out to be male and female, and from them came like 500 hamsters. And then my younger sister had guinea pigs. So it was like a zoo. Although I kind of learned a little bit of commerce at a young age, because one of the things I realized was when we had all these baby hamsters, and you know, you try to give them away, I found out that the pet store would buy them from me for $4 a hamster. And that was a lot of money. And they liked my hamsters because they weren't like the factory-made hamsters. They were like the tender, loving care hamsters. And so it was great. I learned at a young age, like, yeah, you know. And they liked mine because they weren't diseased. They didn't have dry tail. They were, you know, they... Or the wet tail, the dry, yeah. With the dry tail was the medicine you had to give them when they had wet tail. It was.
It's
like a hamster meal. Yeah. Yeah. So I learned that at a young age. I just kind of grew out, like, you know, it kind of just became more work than it was worth, you know? Like, I just got too busy with other things. It's like, I don't have time to take care of a hamster, you know.
The only thing you know for sure
is that the cats are actually doing the choice. Yeah. Anything else? Question?
Yes. What is the point of blessing the animals then?
Well, the same reason you could bless a car, or the same reason you could bless. No, I mean, you know, we can, because, well, I mean, to bless something is to basically call down good upon it, you know. There are two types of blessings. There's what's called a constitutive blessing, which is to constitute something as something. So, like, when I bless holy water, like, I am turning that water into holy water, and it will be holy water forever. You know, so I'm constituting, or when I bless a rosary, like that is a blessed rosary, versus an invocative blessing, which is just to invoke goodness, to invoke God's blessing upon something, upon a person, upon an animal, upon fields. I mean, you know, there was a blessing for, you know, for fields at, you know, planting time, you know, that they may be kept free of pestilence and, you know, and you can bless inanimate things too. I mean, you could bless, you know, the parish hall when it's done being built. You know, that God's blessing may always be upon this hall, who, you know, for everyone who comes here, and, you know, everyone will be kept safe, and that it doesn't fall in on itself, and, you know, you can. I would say you could bless an animal just to. Did, you know, just kind of, kind of like call down some good upon it. I don't, that's probably the best way I can think of it. Best way to phrase it.